Okay, we're here with Bill Fletcher. I'm David Lauderdale with Brian Tolley and Rick Brundret. Why are you running?
You know, it's been no secret that there's been a significant erosion of trust between the district leadership and our community. I've been here for 18 years as a Bluffton resident, and I cannot think of a time where I have seen our community so divided or fractured over the events that have taken place over the last 12 months. So when Mrs. Bush made the decision to step down, I thought this was an opportunity for me as a concerned member of the community, as someone who has worked in and among the residents of Beaufort County for 18 years, who has worked to develop trust as a matter of practice for my business, and to bring that trust with me to the school board to help bridge that gap that currently exists. Obviously, I'd be only one member out of 11, but I think that my unique skill set would help bridge that gap and bring a level of common sense to the board and make our community feel like that they have someone there who is listening to their concerns, that acknowledges what they want to express, and takes that into consideration when certain decisions are being made by district leadership.
Well, fill us back a little bit on your 18 years and your work and your connections and other things in the community that you
mentioned. Okay, sure. I moved here in July of 1998. My wife, Cheryl, was pregnant with our first 5 months pregnant. And so all of our children have grown up and are growing up here in Beaufort County. All four of them are in district schools. I have a daughter who's a senior at Bluffton High, a daughter who's a sophomore at Bluffton High, and my two boys are over at Bluffton Middle in 6th and 8th grade. So I have been an engaged parent from the start. And they all came up through Michael C. Riley Elementary, which is a fantastic school. I can't say enough about their teachers and their leadership over there. So came here in 1998 to help my father build a business, which he had founded in 96. And if you're in sales, you understand that your success is determined on a couple things. Number one, how well do you listen to what the needs are of the person that you're talking to? Because if you don't listen, you can't understand the problem. And if you can't understand the problem, you can't come up with a viable solution to address the problem. And so that's what I've been doing 18 years in Beaufort County, plus another 5 years in Northern Virginia, is having that experience of listening to what folks need and then coming up with viable solutions to address those needs. Community involvement. I'm an engaged parent. I'm an active volunteer in the district. My background in finance gives me a unique perspective in addressing, looking at budgets, audits, and in addition, I am the as president of the company, I'm our liaison between our regulatory agencies, both in the state of South Carolina and in the federal government. So I have kind of a broad experience in finance, in dealing with government entities and so forth. And so with respect to your question about working with the community, our company has been here in Beaufort County for the last 20 years. And 99% of our business comes from right here in Beaufort County.
What is that? What is that company?
Unisource Mortgage Services. We're located in Plantation Park. We initially were on the island for, I believe, 12 or 13 years, and then moved out to Bluffton. So I think I'd like to think that we're well known in the community, and that, I look at something which may be small in the eyes of some, but our community has voted us as my company as best of Bluffton for the last 3 years in a row. And while that may be something small, I take a lot of pride in that, and that people recognize what we're trying to do, what we're about, with transparency and ethics. In sales, it's never about the deal that's in front of you. It's about the deals that come as a result of that deal. And we have always tried to treat people right.
Yeah. Did you do school improvement council, or what engagement?
Was not in the school improvement council. I have been a registered and approved volunteer. You have to go through the CB, you know, have your CBC done and everything, which is done anyway as a matter of my business. But mostly involved at the classroom level, specifically with the classrooms that my kids are in. Last year I had the opportunity, fantastic opportunity, to go with the fifth graders from Michael C. Riley to Camp Driftwood for a camping trip, and you haven't lived until you spent two nights in a cabin with 8 fifth graders and spend the day with them. So I'm a former educator. I did that for 3 years right out of college, and the love for teaching, the love for kids, has never left me. In fact, my wife and I didn't have our first child until we were married for 8 years, and we've often said if we knew it would have been this fun, we would have started much earlier having children in our marriage. But I love working with kids, and you know, I shared with the board last night, they are there to represent the best interests of the kids, and they are there to fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And I believe that's a very important aspect that they need to adhere to listen to, and it's not being done effectively, I don't believe.
Have you, where did you stand on the issue of the makeup days, and how do you think it was handled?
This is a classic example of the board not listening. So last night, as I've already mentioned, I talked to the board. Talked to the board briefly at the beginning of the meeting, public comment section. And there's been, I talked to them a little bit about trust, because you know, with the sales tax, they're hesitant to propose, or there's hesitant promotion of that. And the feedback they're getting is, well, we don't trust the board. We don't trust Dr. Moss. I shared with them that trust has to begin individually with each board member. You don't start that corporately. You begin that individually, and it has to be intentional. So as I sat through the meeting last night, and at the end of the meeting, that's when the makeup days were discussed. 43% of educators and staff voted for option 4, which was to cut into the beginning of Christmas break. 52% of parents opted for option 4. The next closest option, option 3, got 26% of the vote. So option 4 got twice as many votes from parents as option 3. So a majority of educators selected option 4. Majority of parents selected option 4. And yet the discussion, as Dr. Moss presents this, and he makes it clear that we will work with those students whose families have already made plans for travel during the first part of the break. The concern from an educational standpoint is to have students, our high school students, come back from a 2.5-week break and then take their end-of-course exams. You lose a portion of the ability that you can retain during that 2.5 weeks, because let's face it, students and families aren't going to be in the books during break. It's just not going to happen. And so what it does is it hurts. It actually hurts our high schoolers' chances of doing as best they can on those exams, which comprise about 60% of their grade. And you can watch the video. I don't know if you've seen it or not. There was discussion, and as I sat there, I was astounded that there was virtually zero discussion about what the parents had opted for, those who chose to vote. Now, granted, there were only 700 votes placed, but everyone had an opportunity to express their opinion on the matter. So the board, Joanne Orszak, made the motion for option 3. In complete contradiction to what a majority of educators and parents expressed on their vote. And I can't explain that. To me, there is a disconnect. And we know that Ms. Orszak is often celebrated as a critic of Dr. Moss. And that's certainly, she can certainly adopt that position. But when you go against, when you go through the effort to solicit the input from parents, when you go through the effort to solicit input from the educators and the principals, and you make a decision that completely disregards that input, that does zero to establish trust with our stakeholders. And I told the board,
option 4 was the best decision.
I believe option 4 was absolutely, unquestionably the best decision.
Well, let me go back, because I find this is often the rub with public officials in the community. There are public officials who believe that they serve the people, and if the majority of the people, they're getting a clear message that they should vote and act in a way that represents their community. There are other public officials who act and believe as if my community has voted me in this position because of my expertise and all this, and that really what they voted for is my judgment. So are you telling us that you do the former, you feel the former? If the community wants something to happen, then I am representing my community? Or is it my experience,
in this specific case, there is no reason, no legitimate reason in my mind that justified the board's decision to go against what the majority of educators and parents decided. Now, you're not always going to have that same dynamic where those two groups are in lockstep with one another, mm-hmm. All right? But in this case, the data was right there. And so the question would then be, for the board members, is why would you select something that is not what overwhelmingly educators and parents supported? Why would they insert their judgment and choose a different option that they felt was more appropriate? I think part of it may be the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So those individuals who had plans or whatever for Christmas, you know, they were on the phone to their board members or whatever. And I think, if I may be frank, I think part of the decision, and there's no way that I could prove this. I think it's complete speculation on my part. But I think there is this dynamic between the superintendent and certain board members that regardless of whatever the superintendent presents as an option or whatever he's in favor of, you're going to have board members who are going to opt for something other than that. And that's, again, that's speculation, but when I see stuff on Facebook and I sit in on those board meetings, it's clear to me that those disagreements, professionally, personally, are coming into play on some of these decisions. Again, that's speculation on my part, but I don't know of any other way to explain why you would have someone make a motion in direct contradiction to what the majority has voted on. And what it does is, I've received messages all morning on Facebook. The question is, well, why did they ask for my input anyway? What was the point if the majority of people, they look at it, and there are people that even didn't want option 4. I had a gal message me, she wanted option 3. She got what she wanted. The concern she expressed to me was, if the board isn't going to listen is going to go through the trouble of obtaining information and input from the community, and they're going to completely disregard that. In this case, it worked out in my favor, but what trust do I have that down the road they're not going to do the same thing on some other subject or some other issue that they're voting on?
Win the battle, lose the war.
Exactly. So it creates all sorts of problems.
So let me just finish my little loop there so I understand. So if you personally believe that option three was the best place, but the numbers came out the same for option four, would you vote for option four?
I'd vote for option four if I believe that it was within the best interest of the students, yes.
Okay, but I'm saying that you personally believe that option three is the best. That's your personal stake.
Hypothetically.
Oh, hypothetically, yeah.
But the community seems to have voted for number four. Where do you go?
I think you have to balance it. I made a comment to you the other on Facebook the other day that there's a certain element in the community that if you're not, if you don't have your torch lit and you're storming the castle, shouting fire at the superintendent, that you're not a candidate for change. I don't think change comes about by yelling and screaming. You have to be an informed individual on the matter. So I am willing to let, as I said, I've listened to many residents in our county, and I will let them guide me on what they want. In the same token, I will also be giving them my input so that they can make an informed decision. And I've done that with regard to the sales tax. I am surprised at the number of people that don't understand the funding mechanism that the sales tax is. So we may come from different viewpoints on that. My job is to educate and to do that and to communicate and to do that before you actually are up on the dais making a vote that's going to affect the community. I was shocked and surprised that I got a message on my mobile device with the board requesting input from the community. I've been saying that all along. Communication seems to be a deficiency between district leadership and the community. And to get that, I was like, hey, yeah, they're finally getting the message. This is great. We know that they didn't do that with the school start times, obviously. But in this case, I was very pleased that they were making the effort to reach out to the community to get their input. And it was all teed up for them in the ninth inning. It was all teed up, and they whiffed.
Tell me about the sales tax. What do you think of that?
What would you like? the sales tax. I will say that the sales tax, if you simply look at the numbers, you cannot deny that the sales tax is a better option for taxpayers than a traditional bond referendum. We would have the ability of utilizing roughly $100 million of sales tax revenue to reduce the millage rate as it relates to school debt. Now, when our board members talk about your trust, people don't trust the numbers, we have to go back and look at what does history tell us. And history tells us that for the last, I don't know, was it 6-7 years, that the district's projections on student growth has been within 0.66% of actual enrollment. I think that's a pretty good metric. It tells us that they understand what the trends are and that they know what student population is going to be down the road. There are those who are just going to vote against the sales tax because they hear tax and it's immediately a red flag. I'm ideologically opposed to any tax. One candidate stood up in a forum and said, we shouldn't ask for another dime from the community until we resolve the district's spending problem. And I had to ask, well, what's the spending problem? This is the first I've heard about this. You know, what budget reviews have you done? What conversations have you had with Ms. White to support the stance that there's a spending problem. And honestly, guys, it's been my concern that people will just spout off certain things without any substantiation, without any proof. And it takes someone who has critical thinking skills, a reasoned ability to sort out fact from fiction, to do this job.
Well, so
I am in support of it. If you go to a traditional bond referendum, our community, our property owners are going to pay more out of pocket because there is not that mechanism under a traditional bond referendum to reduce the millage rate as is related to school debt.
But that's the only thing the locals are paying, that debt. They're not paying for it.
They're still going to.
They're not paying for operations.
Let's put it this way. Let's say the referendum fails. The capital needs are still there.
Are you convinced?
The capital projects were identified long before the proposal for a sales tax came up within board discussions. Those have been on a project list for some time now. So when we talk, so the board alternatives, they're not pleasant. I mean, if the measure fails, you could go to a scaled down version on a bond referendum, and the board could say, well, given the flack that we've received, that we're working with 5-year data and we have a 10-year ask, let's scale down and go to the critical capital improvements of our assets. So HVAC replacements, roof replacements, et cetera. So that cuts the ask down to about half. But you're not going to get the benefit of the millage relief as you would under under the sales tax. So they will pay more out of pocket. I'll give you the numbers for me personally. I ran the numbers for myself. My home on the county public record is assessed at $253,500. When I ran the numbers, and I'm going from memory here, so you have to forgive me, I believe I was going to save like $137 for the year. Doesn't sound like a lot, but I would have to spend, let's say if you take that 137 times 100 to get to what your sales tax expenditure would have to be or go over that amount. So take 137 times 100, divide that by 12, and I would have to spend like over $1,000 a month on taxable goods in order to pay more in taxes than what I'm paying right now. So a lot of people don't understand that while it's a tax increase on sales tax, it's a millage decrease, which is going to reduce your school debt, what you're paying on that, by 42%. All right? And we're taking that $100 million from tourists, vacationers, and we're using those funds to backfill what we would be paying in school debt.
Do you feel more than the structure of this, more than the tax of this, was this the right time to ask for that much above the critical needs list? Is it too big of a request in this environment?
I look at it this way, and again, maybe it's a sense that I have a more practical nature about me, is that you wouldn't start planning for your child's college education the day they graduate from high school. And you wouldn't start planning for retirement the day you become eligible for Social Security. So it is a 10-year capital improvement plan. And again, the data would suggest that the district has the ability to accurately project what enrollment is going to be. So to answer your question, I would have done this. I see no problem with what they're asking. I think it's prudent to have the infrastructure in place to be able to accommodate the students rather than being behind the eight ball, trying to get financing in place, trying to get structures built and so forth. So people don't operate their personal lives in the way that they're asking the district to operate their managing their assets and planning for growth. So I think it was prudent for what they asked for.
Hey, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about early education. You were very passionate about that.
Yes.
And had something very specific to say about, I believe, smaller class sizes for younger children. You want to speak to that?
Absolutely. There have been numerous studies that tell us that the most critical time in development for our students is from the third grade and below. And I know the district has, they recently announced an initiative, their 100 Voices initiative, to identify these at-risk students. But with reference to the class sizes and that need to have more, the teacher-student ratio needs to be less. It needs to be really one teacher per roughly 15 to 17 students. Up through third grade, there have been numerous studies, and the STAR study out of Tennessee, which is probably the most well-known study and comprehensive one that's been done in a school district, taking into account if we have reduced class sizes, smaller amounts of students per teacher, versus your traditional 20, 25 students, there is verifiable and demonstrable improvement in the development of those children educationally by the time they reach fourth grade compared to the others. I mean, there are numerous studies available. I think the STAR study, again, out of Tennessee, is probably the most comprehensive. And this week I actually had a kindergarten teacher message me. And she basically solidified, she was making a comment on something unrelated, but came around and said, we need smaller class sizes for our students. I believe she's a kindergarten assistant. But we cannot be putting more children into some of these classrooms. It defeats the purpose of providing the best quality education that we can for those students. So we're either going to have the best plan available that we can do as a district, or we're going to settle for something else. And I think that having smaller classrooms up through that third grade, where we have either more two teachers for 25 or 30 students, or one teacher for 15 to 17, I really think that needs to be the implementation to help us improve improvement throughout the rest of the elementary, middle school, and ultimately high school. Because high school is where you're really going to see that take off, and you guys already know we're on the right path. I think the district is, as far as improving on-time graduation rates. They've improved; they're the highest that they've been, and so I think the district has done good work. But that work, the more we focus on it earlier in that child's education, the easier and the more effective that will be further along.
Is that a budget thing, a building thing?
Well, obviously you're going to have to have more teachers. So you could do, you could have two teachers per classroom doing that. You could, if you expanded, if you built more classes where you had more intense training, like one teacher per 15 students, you're going to need more classrooms. But again, I would think that the investment, the capital investment, is going to pay off a thousandfold in what we're going to see.
With just a minute left.
Okay.
Is there something you want to say that we haven't talked about?
Oh, wow. I would just say that whoever gets elected, I hope that they would demonstrate critical thinking and a knowledge of the facts, which honestly I haven't seen from some of the other candidates in other forums and so forth. There's been some misinformation, confusion, but we need someone who is completely dedicated. And as a father of four children that's in the district, I'm invested 100% times four and the success of our students. So that's really all I had to share.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you doing that.